Welcome to Frequent Milers Coffee Break, where we focus on a single topic related to miles and points.
And each coffee break is limited to 20 minutes or less, or your money back.
On today's coffee break, is it worth hoarding points? Conventional wisdom in the points and miles community is that it's good to earn and burn, meaning like you earn a lot of points and use them as quickly as possible, because devaluations happen all the time. Sometimes award prices increase. So if you sit on your points too long, it may cost more for the awards you were hoping to book. So it's better to spend them right away. So what do you think? Is that what we should be doing? Should we always be burning our points as soon as possible?
No. And we're going to talk about why you shouldn't. Because, you know, it is true that over time, points become less valuable. And so the fear is, my points are going to become worthless. And that's not probably true. They may become worth less for specific use cases, but they're not going to become worthless anytime soon. And in fact, I think it can be really valuable to have a lot of points and miles on hand. And I know you do too. So let's talk about some of the reasons why. First of all, great award availability pops up randomly and in unexpected places. You never know. Things ebb and flow, and you never know when all of a sudden a bunch of award availability is going to, you know, come to be. For instance, I just recently, before we recorded this, went to French Polynesia. And I spent that time in French Polynesia thanks to the fact that Air Tahiti Nui suddenly popped up a whole ton of award space near the end of the booking calendar. Tons of days had two seats available in business class, and quite a few days had four seats available in business class, which is not common on Air Tahiti Nui. And in fact, my wife and I had been to French Polynesia once before, and I thought, boy, it's going to be a really lucky day if and when we ever get a chance to fly as a family of four, because I knew that four seats were so hard to come by in business class. And so when they came around, I was glad that I had plenty of transferable points. And actually, in this case, I had plenty of Alaska miles to be able to book this with Alaska miles, which worked out even better because I earned elite qualifying miles on the trip as well. So that was great. You never know when that kind of thing is going to happen, but they're not the only ones. I mean, we see that kind of thing all the time.
Yeah, we do. So Delta, they infamously hardly ever release award space to partners for their Delta One business class, like for long haul travel, like to Europe or to Asia. But every now and then, some route gets wide open availability in Delta One for all their partners. And you can book, when this happens, you could sometimes book like nine seats at a time. There's probably more available, but that's all the system allows you to do. And so then you can get, used to be you could get great point prices using Virgin points when that happened. Now the best bet is probably Air France KLM flying blue points. Either way, you know, when those things happen, you need to be ready with points. And so having them around is not something that, you know, you could have foretold that this would have happened. So I better build up my stash. It's one of those things where having that hoard available right there so you could jump on it and book your whole family in business class is a great opportunity.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk all the time about the value of having transferable points so that you have a wide range of different airline programs to choose from. And that really comes in handy in situations where award availability pops up in places you didn't expect. Because, you know, Greg just gave an example where maybe you'd book Delta One through Air France KLM flying blue. But I actually flew with a family of eight passengers to and from Europe this year on Air France. And what happened was at some point far in advance, in this case, there was suddenly that kind of glut of award availability that came about. And there were eight seats available in one direction via Virgin Atlantic for something like 48,500 points per passenger. The same seats through Flying Blue were like 1.4 million miles. So if I only had Air France KLM Flying Blue miles, I wouldn't have been able to book that flight, or I would have needed far more miles. But because I had transferable points, I could transfer to Virgin Atlantic to book one direction. And then actually I booked the other direction through Air France KLM Flying Blue because they were a better deal through Air France in the opposite direction. I paid something like 388,000, I think, or 400,000 or something like that in the other direction via Flying Blue. And so, you know, again, that's a situation where eight seats, that's not very common to find in business class, but the day when that pops up, having points at the ready to be able to throw at it if you're trying to plan a trip, or even if you weren't trying to plan a trip. There are plenty of times like that where I've said, okay, wow, this is available. Maybe we should clear the schedule and take a look at this for this trip this year, and we can do that other trip any year because it's easier to find availability there. And so again, having transferable points at the ready to be able to throw at that kind of a problem really helps. It makes it far easier to jump on that and take advantage. If I were to sit here trying to plan a trip for eight people with a limited set of dates and a limited set of points, it'd be really hard. But if I have some flexibility, and a large part of that comes from having a range of different transferable points, then it becomes at least an easier task.
Yeah. And sometimes amazing point deals pop up randomly. Sometimes they're probably mistakes by the loyalty programs, but as long as they allow them to go through, that's all good. Several years ago now, United, there was a day or two where flights to Asia and Oceania were wide open in business class on United for only 60,000 United miles each way. And I was lucky I had a big stash of United miles. I think it was probably due to like post-COVID where, right before COVID, I'd booked a bunch of United flights and they all had to be canceled. But anyway, regardless of why, I immediately jumped on. My wife and I had been meaning to go to New Zealand. I jumped on and booked several different dates with this deal because I wasn't sure exactly when we'd be able to go, but I was able to book several different dates. And then eventually, of course, we waited down and canceled the ones we didn't need, and had a fantastic trip to New Zealand. And that's an example where you had to have, because it only lasted a day or two, you had to have either United miles or points to transfer to United to make that work.
Yeah, and speaking of things that only last a day or two, sometimes you do see those types of opportunities, and you have to be able to strike while the iron is hot. And an example of where that happened earlier this year was there was a day where Citi Thank You points became transferable to Accor, like the program for Fairmont and Sofitel and Novotel and Ibis and a bunch of other different brands. It's a French company, but so Accor has a big footprint around the world. And there was a day where Citi Thank You points became transferable 1-to-1. So ordinarily, Citi points, I think, are transferable. I think it's 2-to-1 to Accor. And Accor points are worth 2 euro cents per point. So, you have to take a look at the exchange rate, but that's more than 2 US cents per point. So transferring Citi to Accor was a fantastic deal for people who had Citi Thank You points at the ready. And plenty of people did transfer large chunks to Accor. And I wished I could have transferred a big chunk. I didn't have as many Citi points as I would have liked to because I didn't hoard enough of them. And I knew I had another use in mind for them. And so I didn't feel flexible enough to take advantage of that deal. And I kind of regretted it. I think you were able to do it though, right?
I did. I transferred something like 100,000, maybe. I can't remember exactly. So that was an amazing deal. And not a mistake, but one I'm going to throw in is that Bill, each month they have on the first of the month their rent day specials, and sometimes they have incredible transfer bonuses. And there have been a few times where I've been very happy that I had Bilt points sitting around because I was able to transfer at an incredible ratio to a program that I knew I was going to use the points for.
Very good. Yeah.
Welcome to our first ever homemade host-read ad. Bilt is a loyalty program that famously rewards you for paying rent.
But of course, there are many other ways to earn Bilt points. You can earn points booking travel or fitness classes, or just by linking the credit cards that you already use every day at participating restaurants, Walgreens, and when you pick up a Lyft.
And Bilt has a fantastic set of transfer partners.
Don't forget that Bilt regularly offers huge transfer bonuses too. Join the loyalty program for renters at joinbilt.com/miles. That's joinbilt.com/miles. Make sure to use our URL so they know that we sent you.
Now back to the show.
Every now and then, we also see new partnerships come around that create amazing short-term opportunities. For instance, Qatar and JetBlue launched a partnership a year, two, 3 years ago, a couple years ago. And at the beginning, when that partnership first launched, you could book JetBlue Mint for incredible deals. JetBlue Mint via Qatar Avios was ringing in at 38,750 Avios each way and $10.10 in taxes departing the United States. So that was a phenomenal deal for flatbed business class to Europe, JetBlue Mint, which is pretty highly regarded. That was a great deal. I booked four passengers on a flight using that. Now that price has since gone up. It's 74 to 78,000 Avios each way as we record this now. But if you had points at the ready to transfer to an Avios program the day that that launched, well, then you could take advantage of it, just like I did. That was a big part of the motivation for a particular trip. I said, oh, great. This is a deal we can't pass up. And so we went ahead and took advantage of it.
Another thing that hoarding is great for is using points that have free or cheap change and cancellation rules. They're great for booking placeholder awards. And what I mean by that is, like, let's say you're planning your European vacation and you don't see any awesome awards available at the time you start looking. But you might see, booking through American or United or something, awards that, like, well, I don't love it, but it'll be good enough. It'll get me to where I need to go in time. So what you do, you book that good enough award, and because, like, American, United, Alaska, Delta, they all allow free cancellations as long as you don't book, like in Delta's case, basic economy. You can keep looking for the ideal award and book that when you find it, cancel that placeholder award.
Yeah, I find that so useful. People sometimes say, oh, they hem and haw. If they only have enough points to book, one trip, then they might have to hem and haw over, do I want to book this or not? Because I'd really like something else. And if I book this and it locks me into it, and having enough points that you can kind of pick and choose and book something that can be canceled later on, that's really helpful. I mean, I can't emphasize that one enough. We use that all the time. Also, keep in mind, point programs change. Value can go up or down for different situations. Alaska, when they relaunched their program and kind of revamped their program, it got worse in some cases, like for long distance flights to Asia, but it got much better for really short distance flights. You can book American Airlines flights from just 4,500 miles each way. It got better for people that were in the Northeast that can fly to Europe now for 45 to 55,000 points one way in some cases, parts of Western Europe anyway. In fact, I'll be flying an Alaska award home from Europe in a little bit here. I'm in Europe as we record this. And so they become really useful for that stuff. I booked some intra-European flights as well through them. So it changes over time. They're not great for what they used to be great for, but they became great at other things. And so if you have a lot of points at the ready, then you can take advantage when things change and say, okay, well, where's the new sweet spot and how can I use that?
So, backing up a bit, the ideal is to, earn and hoard your transferable points and burn your, like, loyalty program specific points as soon as the availability hits you. But that's not 100% because, as we were saying, things like American Airlines, United, Alaska, those are great for those placeholder things. So having, like, a stash of, I don't know, a few hundred thousand of each of those can be really, really useful for that sort of thing. So whenever you see, like, really low hanging fruit, opportunities get lots of points. The question really shouldn't be, should I bother with this given that I already have enough points for like my foreseeable travels in the next year or so? Really, it should be, is this is this really low-hanging fruit? Is this something I could just pretty easily, cheaply get these points? It's our opinion that the answer is yes. It's worth going for it because opportunities do come up pretty often, and you just never know. And when they do, you'll be so happy you have those points. I do want to point out that it was fun preparing for this show because I went back to an old post I wrote from 2014 called Opportunistic Hoarding versus Earning and Burning. We'll have the URL for that post in the show notes. But it's fun checking it out because the concepts are all the same as what we just discussed, but the specifics are kind of fun because it's almost like a glimpse back in history of things that don't exist anymore. I recommended earning SPG points as transferable points. I recommended burning your city points for 1.25 cents each for travel, which is something you can't do anymore. So things like that. So it's kind of fun to check that out.
And someday you'll be looking back at this in the same way and say, oh, those things don't exist anymore. But each time that they've ceased to exist, we found additional opportunities. So if you keep your eyes peeled and keep your eye on the blog, you'll find those opportunities too. Don't forget, if you've enjoyed this and you'd like to get on our email list, you want to go to frequentmiler.com/subscribe to join our email list, follow us on all the various social media, and check out our Frequent Miler on the Air episodes dropping every Friday.